It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Is Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Joe Zagacki with our producer, Trevor Harris. This is our final Hurricane Hotline show of the year. We'll take the summer off and rejoin you in August. So the final show, and then back with you in August when we kick off the football season. A busy 1 hour coming up. We'll hear from University of Miami basketball coach Jay Lucas. Been a very busy offseason for the basketball program. Don Bailey Jr. joins us in our final show. We'll talk Hurricanes football, and also a couple of weeks ago, we heard from Dan Radakovich. He's retiring this week. And in fact, tonight they're having a celebration for Dan Radakovich at the University of Miami. And we'll replay our conversation with University of Miami Athletic Director Dan Radakovich. All of that coming up on the show. University of Miami baseball team in the NCAA regionals. They are number 2 seed. They go to Gainesville on Friday night. They will take on Troy. Perhaps if they win that one, we'll see the Florida Gators on Saturday. So the baseball team is in the regional. They're going to Gainesville to take on Troy and then maybe the number 1 seed Florida Gators. Here's head coach J.D. Arteaga.
Well, it's a great opportunity, man. It's a new season. Everybody starts 0-0. We were part of the field of 64, and this is what you play for. This is for the first 56 games, and we started all fall and everything is to get to this point, this opportunity to go play. It doesn't matter where it's at. We got an opportunity to stay in state and go to Gainesville. And Troy is our number one objective right now, is trying to get that game won and then get into that winner's bracket game on Saturday. So we're excited, excited and ready to go.
Is it a good thing or bad thing you already have the familiarity with Florida and vice versa?
Hey, you know what? We played them so long ago that we're a different team today than we were back in February, as they are as well, you know? So they got different guys in the lineup, as do we. Their rotation is different than ours. It's a different team, you know? We're familiar with the field, the stadium, and all those things. We go there every other year, so. But at this point, it doesn't really matter who you play. I've learned a long time ago, you don't wish to play somebody or not play somebody. It's whoever they put in front of you, you strap it on and play.
What did you like that this group could take away from the two strong games you guys played up in Charlotte?
When we play good, clean baseball, don't make errors, we're a really good team, really good, a tough team to beat, and we could beat anybody in the country. So, you know, we don't, we're not very good, but that, the same could be told about any team. We just got to come out and play our best baseball, and that's always been our goal, is to get better and better every day. And be at our best. Not better than we can be, but just be at our best at this time of the year.
J.D. Arteaga joining us. Hurricanes on the road this weekend. NCAA regional action Friday. They'll take on Troy Saturday, maybe against the Florida Gators. If they win on Friday and the Gators win on Friday, those two would collide on Saturday in the winner's bracket game. The University of Miami basketball team last year, of course, made the round of 32. Completely new team. Jay Lucas rebuilding the team during the offseason. And the Hurricanes have had quite a recruiting season indeed. And also looking like they're going to play a very impressive non-conference schedule. Joining us now, Hurricanes head coach Jay Lucas. All right, with University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas as we head into the summer. And coach, been a very busy time for you putting together your roster once again. Are you satisfied with where you are right now?
Yeah, I am. I am so far so satisfied, I guess, best way to put it. We still have a few more that we have to finalize, but I feel good with where we are and what we were able to get and what we were able to kind of pick up from what we lost from last year's team and trying to put us right back in the hunt.
What would you say was the things that you were looking for? Again, it looks like, you know, obviously the size, but what were some of the other things that were attractive to you for the players that are on the roster?
Well, I know we needed a point guard and needed somebody that could run the team kind of like we had with Trey Donaldson last year. And then we needed some replacement for the size. And, you know, we went and got Sompto from Georgia, who is similar to Ernest, but different in his own way. And then the next thing I know that I felt we needed throughout the year and I wanted to make sure we addressed in the portal was the shooting. And I felt we got that squared away as well. Mm-hmm.
And this year, your second year going through this, how different was it for you this year compared to last year in terms of handling the portal, in that now you're established, you showed everybody how you connect, how you develop relationships, and how you win?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot more data to be able to show and to tell and sell with how we can help people develop our style of play, how we like to play, things of that nature. But, you know, one of the things that I guess was the biggest difference, last year's team, I guess in its own way, kind of made itself, because there were a lot of kids that were from the state of Florida, that were from the region, that were going in there last year and wanted to come back home. This wasn't the case as much this year. And so I had to kind of go about it a different route and make sure we kind of got pieces that fit, but also enhanced us a little bit.
Well, you got players also from big schools, power four conferences, schools, kids that have played in big games, in big basketball conferences.
Yeah, that was important to me. I felt like that was a big part of why we were able to be successful last year, with Trey being from Michigan and Malik, Indiana, and Ernest, TCU, and True even being from New Mexico, where they won championships and played the NCAA double tournament. So I wanted people that still had that kind of pedigree in them and who have played at a high level and played in games that matter. I think that carries over when you're transitioning to a new school.
Sometimes your roster gets better from within. You have a couple guys that are coming back in Dante Allen and, of course, Shelton Henderson and perhaps Marcus Allen as well. How about the progress of those three guys, and what would be your expectations?
You know, for me, I said this the whole time, and when I took this job, for me, Shelton and Dante were really my true first two recruits, because they came from high school. And those two guys are who I want my program to be about. They're selfless. They care about winning, and they come and compete every day. So I wanted to make sure I got people around them that fit them. And Marcus is the same way as well. And it's just a day-by-day, step-by-step thing with Marcus, where we just take it one day at a time. But those two, Sheldon and Dante, were huge, and they were really my first two pieces I wanted to make sure that we did retain.
Shelton was a five-star player. You have another five-star coming in from Columbus High School. I can't remember the last – and Caleb Gaskins, I should mention, Caleb Gaskins is a five-star player. Probably the last time Miami had two five-star players at the same time was Bruce Brown and Lonnie Walker. But Caleb's a local player and a very good player at that.
Yeah, you know, I'm so excited for Caleb to come be a Hurricane. I'm so excited for the opportunity to coach him. He's somebody I've recruited for years. Even when I was at other schools, I have been recruiting him, and he fits us. He fits everything we're about. He plays how we want to play. You know, he's won state championship, won national championships, won gold medals. So he comes in with a winning background.
How important was it for you that you have the continuity on your staff, the way it all meshed last year and everybody coming back this season? How important is that continuity for you?
I think it's huge because we, you know, last year we were still getting to know each other and still trying to figure me out and how I wanted to coach, because we all came from different backgrounds. And so now we have a better understanding of what the standard is and what we're going to be about. But also, you know, the thing that's so good and what I enjoy most about the portal is every year is different. So it's back to the ground level. It's back to starting completely over and building it completely different, because this isn't the same team that we had last year.
I know you have a great vision for University of Miami basketball to be on the big stage. You were on the big stage last year in the NCAA tournament, the round of 32, right down to the wire against Purdue. As you go into this season, I know you're still working on the schedule. It was announced you're going to go to Las Vegas and play in the Players Era tournament. That's significant for the University of Miami. There's other things that you have brewing, right?
Yeah, it is. We have some big games. And I just wanted, I felt like this schedule fit this team a little bit better than the one we had last year. You know, the one we had last year, I felt like we needed to really gain as much confidence as possible. So when we're going down the stretch, we'll be able to play our best basketball down the stretch. With this team, I think we're going to need some reality checks earlier. Mm-hmm. And so playing a tougher schedule, you know, we'll play our first game. It's already out there. Yeah. So we play our first game against Florida and Tampa, and they'll be a top two, top three team. And then we'll go to the Players Era. We'll get an SEC game at home. And then we have the opportunity. We're still trying to finalize going to Houston to play Texas sometime in December. And they'll be a top 10 team. So I think playing those high quality games leading up and going into conference play is more suited for this team than it was last year.
A couple of things I love about that is, one, you went right to the Gators when you got this job, understanding what that rivalry is about with Miami and Florida, and went right to it, and you found a way. You've done something that everybody else couldn't do, found a way to get that thing to work to play.
Yeah, you know, you have to. And then, you know, they are at the highest level in the sport right now, so you have to concede some things. You know, last year we went to Jacksonville. This year we got even closer to Gainesville and Tampa. And so hopefully we can keep doing our part and get them to move further and further south. But for me, I think the game is so big for the state, so big for the rivalry, and just big for Florida, the whole state, South Florida, Central Florida, everywhere, basketball. And just putting it out there as early as possible, I think it's huge.
And then, you know, if you pull it off with Texas, I think I always thought Miami and Texas were mirror images of each other in their programs. Great brands playing in great states, and it's always cool when Miami and Texas play in any sport.
Yeah, it is. It is. And they are another team that gives you another glimpse of high-level competition and where you need to get to, and give you an early measuring stick. You know, me and my wife both actually graduated from the University of Texas. So what you're saying, I kind of understand how being in Miami a couple year now mirrors each other. But I just think it's great for us to just keep expanding our brand and taking the University of Miami basketball everywhere.
And lastly, your summer with your team, what does that look like? When do you get together with them? How does that start coming together?
Yeah, we are. We got a little break, a little downtime now. We'll start summer school and workouts June 15th, and we'll go all the way through August 1st. And we'll have everybody there. Last year in the summer, we only had seven guys because we had the Europeans couldn't come in the summer. We'll have everybody here, maybe except for one guy. And so we'll have all 12 this summer. And for me, it's just about getting them to understand, one, how we want to play and what's our identity. And then two, getting them to know each other and us to know each other, everybody, and try to start to build that connection and those relationships early and try to create that bond as quick as possible.
Well, Coach, looking forward to it again. Great season a year ago, and roster looks really good this season for you. And look forward to seeing you perhaps in the gym this summer. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it, Josie. You know you're welcome anytime. So anytime you want to come, you can.
Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac, of course, one of my favorite subjects. Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. And you know I've been saying this all the time. They're more than just a dealership. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. It's because of Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. Customers are treated like family. If you want to enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, well, then you go to Williamson Cadillac. New vehicles are arriving every single day, which means Williamson is sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. Come in today and experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. I mentioned the new models, the XT5, the XT6, the new all-electric Lyriq, all in stock right now. So get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Welcome back to the show. As we continue on, it's our last Hurricane Hotline of the Year. We'll rejoin you in August, right before Miami takes on Stanford. Don Bailey Jr. joins us momentarily. Hurricanes baseball team will be in the NCAA Regional this weekend. They'll open against Troy on Friday. If they win that one and the Gators win their game against Rider, Miami and Florida would play on Saturday in the winner's bracket game. Earlier this season, the Gators won two games against Miami at Mark Light. The third game was rained out. But head coach J.D. Arteaga says the Hurricanes are a different team right now compared to the first time they played the Gators earlier in the season.
Guys in the lineup, you know, different guys at the lineup. We got different guys at different positions. Our bullpen is different. So in a lot of ways, it's I guess our rotation is the only thing that's the same. I haven't figured out who's going to throw game one against Troy yet. We've got to look at you know, the left-right splits and situations and stuff like that. Both guys, both being, you know, Evans and Siskar, both pitched really well against Florida the first time around. So I think both games were tied. The first one was tied 2-2 in the eighth, and the other one was 4-4 in the eighth. So they were good games there. So it doesn't really matter. But Troy is a good team. I know they have a lot of left-handers in their lineup. I think 7 out of the top 10 hitters are left-handed. So we'll kind of see who we're going with first.
Coach, you've gotten great contributions from three freshmen. Just how do those guys in at this stage just stay in the moment and not let the moment get too big for them?
You know, hopefully that's the message, right? Hopefully they take that type of attitude, and then as much as we talk about it and preach it, and it still is a big moment, right? And if they play the way they've been playing here of late, they'll be fine. You know, and you'll see it right away. I mean, you're just going to see the little different hop to their step at time. And not just them, you know, even Ogden. I mean, this is his senior year. This is his last tournament. So he's probably going to get drafted and signed. This will be his last, you know, college tournament. So we talked about our sport in college baseball, how it's so different. You don't know when your season's going to end. You wake up in the morning, you have a game that night, and you just don't know if that's going to be your last game or not. You know, in the big leagues, you have a month left in the season knowing, okay, the last game of the regular season, that's the last game. You win, you play the next day. As simple as that. And the AC tournament was a little bit of a taste of what that's going to be like. The difference is that when you get eliminated from either one of these next tournaments we got going on, your season's over. So hopefully they're mentally focused and ready to go.
University of Miami head coach J.D. Arteaga. We now move our attention to Hurricanes football and my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr. All right, joining us now on our final show of this year, Don Bailey Jr., we will rejoin you in August when the Hurricanes will be getting ready to take on the Stanford Cardinal. By the time we come back, we will be into training camp and the beginning of the season will be knocking on the door, Don Bailey. But before we jump into that, as we do this show tonight, the University of Miami is saluting Vice President and Director of Athletics Dan Radakovich, who is retiring. And I thought in his term of 4.5 years or so, I thought he did a really good job.
He really did, Joe. I think he did better than good. I really do. I think he came in with the understanding what needed to be accomplished here at the University of Miami. They stabilized the ship and have it pointed in the right direction and continued to win and on the football field each year that he was here, and really ended his career taking being the athletic director for the University of Miami when they played for a national championship game. And he's a guy that came in with national championship experience in his past, and he certainly provided what was needed to accomplish that goal. And he aligned himself well, of course, with the president and the leadership and the board of trustees. And then, of course, was able to manage this program in what many people, I think, will look back in years to come is a turbulent time, in the sense of with NIL and raising money and funding players and building facilities, and just did one heck of a job. And under his watch, too, we're very, very close to finishing the expansion of the Carol Sofer Indoor Practice Facility. And the list just goes on and on and on. And he was, for you and I think I can speak for you, he was a pleasure to work with, and always professional and a gentleman. And we're very lucky to have him here at the University of Miami.
People locally might not know this, but the athletic director at Syracuse has also retired, as did Bubba Cunningham at North Carolina, and Dan. That's three significant names inside the ACC. That's probably not a good sign for college athletics, to be quite honest with you, because it's becoming a very different world than what we've known before.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, my view is that you're going to have your traditional college football world where you have alumni of the university and alumni of the sporting teams that are going to always be loyal to their university, and they're going to do everything they can to help it succeed. And then, you know, you have the world now of college football and the television and the playoffs. And, you know, you have to maintain both. You have to be competitive with an understanding that you of what has to be raised as far as the level of finances to compete in today's world. But you can never forget about the history of college football.
Okay, when we come back in August, we'll be the beginning of the season, we'll be knocking on the door. Wherever I go, people say to me, "Hey, Josie, can't wait for the Canes. Hey, Josie, Canes are great last season. Oh, it's all about the U." And people are fired up about University of Miami football. How do they, or is it possible, or how can they pick up where they left off?
Well, you know, again, I'll speak for myself, and I'm probably have some of your thoughts in this as well. But after going through the playoffs last year, you know, I had my own opinion on what it was like to be a playoff team, or if you deserve to be there, if you're good enough to win a championship. And the way I look at college football today is if you are in the playoffs, if you, as it was last year with the 12 teams, if you are in the playoffs, you have nothing else to ask for. You've got that opportunity. What happens once you get to the playoffs is totally unpredictable. And we saw it. We saw with Miami being put in at the very end, deservedly jumping over the Notre Dame team that they beat. They get into the playoffs and work their way to a national championship and had a chance to win the national championship on the last drive. And this is a team that was looked at, you know, that they were going to be left out and be going to a bowl game. So I think the main thing now is to get qualified for the playoffs and then hope that you're healthy and that you're mature enough as far as a team goes to understand how to attack that part of a season, because it was totally different as far as intensity goes, time that was required on and off the field. And to get through that 5 or 6 week period is just a grueling process, and it's an entirely different season. And I guess to boil it down, that the team that wins the playoffs and wins the national championship certainly earned it.
Yeah, the two things. One, Indiana, who won, they were the same team all season long. So you can take that path, which is a direct path. They were the same team. I think their personality, their identity from week one was the same as it was on the final play of the championship game. Texas A&M probably peaked too early. Miami peaked at the right time. Georgia and, you know, I think Georgia kind of fought all season long internally trying to get to their identity. So I guess what I'm saying is there are a couple of different paths to get there. You can be Indiana and be the same team all season long, which is rare. You can be Miami and peak at the right time.
Yeah, you can. And I think, you know, yes, Indiana was an undefeated team. But I'm not so sure also, Joe, that you can go into a season anymore and say, we're going to be undefeated. Yeah. Well, I don't know that, you know, the Dolphins were 17-0 and what, no one's gotten there yet. Right. So you look at trying to go undefeated. 16-0 Indiana was an unbelievable accomplishment. And again, it goes back to who plays the best football at the end of the year. And is the end of the year now really is, we used to talk about November. Now the end of the year is December and till the middle of January. So, you know, you've got to be a playoff team and you've got to be healthy and you've got to be able to navigate a long, grueling season and then get ready to start another one.
Okay, lots of changes for Miami, mainly on offense. What do you think the identity of the offense will be this year under Shannon Dawson?
Well, I think as long as you have Mario Cristobal as your head coach, they're going to be a team that's going to be run-based. They're going to run the football. They're going to run the football to help throw the football. They're going to throw the football to help run the football. And, you know, they're going to be physical. They recruit that nature of offensive linemen. Their offensive line coach, Alex Mirabal, preaches nothing but physicality. And we saw that in the playoffs specifically, you know, that running football makes a huge difference. It keeps you in every game. It gives your defense time to rest. I mean, I think part of the reason Miami had a very successful defense last year, of course, was Coach Heatherman, but also Miami had a very time-consuming offense that churned up yards and wore down the opponent. So I think Miami's going to run the ball. I think they've got another star at quarterback, which you need to get into the playoffs or to win a conference or to compete for a national championship. I think that's in place. The backfield is maybe the best in the country. The receiving core has got some established players and, you know, of course, Malachi Toney. But, you know, there were some freshmen that popped off to me in spring football that are at some point are going to make a big difference. And I'm just going to be interesting to me to see how Miami, the defense looks when you lose the triangle. You know, you lose Bassaint in the middle and you lose both the defensive ends, you know, and Bain and Mesidor, two first round picks. So that those are three big production guys that provided leadership. And then you lost a couple guys in the secondary that made huge plays. So, you know, it's going to be a reload. You hope you've got it to a reload situation. And Miami has recruited that way under Coach Cristobal. And we just got to see how quick everybody gels together now, because that's the thing that's missing in college football from years gone by is, you know, you almost can determine next year's personality instead of finding it out the first day of camp.
It's going to be every defensive coordinator that Miami's going to face this season is going to spend their entire summer trying to figure out how to stop Malachi Toney. I suspect he's going to be held more than any wide receiver in the country this season. I think you pointed out some interesting things on defense, and Ahmad Moten and Justin Scott are going to have to be great. Moten was terrific at the end of last season. My sidebar is O.J. Frederick, and now you're going to ask me why. And it just so happened that during this long off season, I've taken a look at some of Miami's games of last year. I don't know if it was by coincidence or what, but Frederick had more chances for big interceptions and dropped them. He better catch the ball this year. SMU, Louisville, the Louisville game, he had two interceptions late in the game that might have changed that game, and he dropped both of them. The Indiana game, he had an interception in the end zone, would have prevented a score, he dropped it. So he's got to go see Lester Hayes or something to get that stick-em. We need him to come up with interceptions.
We can buy him some of that stick-em. They work on that. I think that's one of the things that is a staple for Coach Heatherman is the takeaway. And believe me, if you noticed it, it was noticed in that film room, and it's been harped on. And then you and I both know they work on hands drills and catching the ball as much as the receivers do. So I'm with you. The takeaway helps everybody. It certainly makes the defense's job easier and gives the offense more possessions. And that's something that's huge as well.
When we start the season, I think you and I will be approaching 350 straight games, something like that. The only ones that are close to us are Chase Smith and Mo Torre.
It's nice having 10-year NFL veterans on your staff. But you know what? We joke about it, but I'll tell you, there may not be two more valuable players on that defense than those two guys right there. I mean, I'm really happy for Chase. I mean, he's a guy. Both of them really have had to overcome injuries, but Chase has come in here, and I was so grateful to see that he was able to come back this year because he was almost back to what we thought he was going to be when he signed here. But has been derailed time and time again by injury, and he got healthy towards the end of the year. Was
participated in everything, made some plays, and now to have him come back and really dominate. Mo Torre, I mean, this guy is just, he's priceless. You really have the mouthpiece of Coach Heatherman on the field the entire ball game with him there.
Okay, the schedule begins on a Friday night in California against Stanford. A couple weeks later, another Friday night game against Wake Forest and at Winston-Salem. Miami will be on the road at Clemson and at Notre Dame. A lot of people are saying Clemson has less talent this year than they did last year. This past draft, they sent like 9 guys to the NFL, and they went 7-6. And a lot of people are saying their talent is even less, is less this season. I don't know. But Miami goes to Clemson, goes to Notre Dame. Thankfully, the ACC and everybody else came to their senses and moved the Virginia Tech game from a Friday to a Saturday. Miami also gets Florida State at home, Duke at home, Pittsburgh at home, and we're home for Thanksgiving as well, which is, you know, we haven't had that luxury in a while, so that'll be good.
It will be, Joe, and I never am one to balk about scheduling, but I don't get these weeknight games. I mean, I just don't get it, whether it's at home or on the road. It's, you know, college football to me is a Saturday game, and you're interfering with high school, and it just is a disruption in the rhythm of a season. I probably won't harp on that except every game this year. But I think it's, you know, that's the thing that's disappointing. I think the schedule as far as the opponents go, listen, all eyes are going to be on Miami-Notre Dame November 7th, no matter what the records are of either of those teams, obviously, for what happened last year. But I still think, you know, if we're going to forecast it, that game is going to have playoff implications. I'm not buying the Clemson story. First of all, you and I have been there. We've seen the environment that you walk into when you play there. They've recruited well. They haven't been a big portal team because of their own decisions. So Dabo Sweeney has groomed these players. These guys are all in-house guys, a majority of them. He's won national championships. He's won a ton of football games and bowl games. And I don't think if you poll anybody in the country that they would sign up to go play Clemson at Clemson. And I just think it's a difficult place to go. And I'm not buying the crocodile tears for the Clemson Tigers.
All right, Don Bailey, enjoy your summer. Have a great vacation. And we'll rejoin in August before Miami plays Stanford.
That we will, Joe. And we both want to thank Dan Radakovich for all he did here at the University of Miami. And we know he's a Hurricane fan through and through. And I'm sure we'll see him on the road every now and then.
All right. More Hurricane conversation when we come right back.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, he'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Happy to welcome you back to the show. Joe Zgacki, our producer, is Trevor Harris. Our final segment of the Hurricane Hotline for this season. We will be back with you in August before Miami takes on Stanford. This weekend, Hurricanes baseball team travels to Gainesville. They'll take on Troy on Friday. A win there, they'll go to the winner's bracket game against either Florida or Ryder, probably the Florida Gators. Last season, Hurricanes won the regional, then went to the super regional, came up just a little bit short of reaching Omaha, and head coach J.D. Arteaga thinks that last year's experience could help this year's team.
You know, hopefully just going into an environment that, you know, hostile environment, you know, and Southern Miss was a tough one last year. I mean, it was pretty nuts over there, and to me, I enjoy that. Hopefully they enjoy playing that type of environment. There's nothing better than a quiet stadium when you're on the road. But it's a very different selection Monday, I guess, from last year to this year. We weren't really sure we were going to get in last year. This year was a matter of where we were going. So it was a little different feel and in the locker room today. So, you know, just controlling your emotions when things, you know, slowing the game down when things start to you know, kind of snowball on you. It's something they got to be aware of when you're playing on the road.
With all that being said, how important is it to make sure you guys don't look ahead and, you know, enjoy the moment and each game step by step?
That's been our motto all year. 0-0 every morning. You know, no error you made yesterday is going to hurt you tomorrow or today. No hits yesterday help you win today. So it's Troy, and it's all about Troy, and then getting that first win. I guess I think it's 5 or 6 o'clock. We play the second game on Friday, so 6 o'clock on Friday. Win that one, and whoever there is in that opposite dugout on Saturday, get ready for those guys.
University of Miami head coach J.D. Arteaga. Tonight, the University of Miami is honoring Vice President and Director of Athletics Dan Radakovich. He is retiring, of course. This is his final week, and Dan had a very successful tenure here at the University of Miami, and we did have an opportunity to talk to him about his time here at the UM and why this was the right time for him to step aside. All right, joining us now, University of Miami Vice President and Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich. Dan, thanks so much for being with us on the show. And earlier this month, you announced your retirement. Maybe take us through that, and why was this the right decision for you?
Well, Joe, thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. It's always good to be with you. It was a decision that I'd been thinking about for a while. Actually talked to the president, you know, probably a few weeks ago to be able to kind of look forward towards an orderly transition, because, you know, I've been so blessed over the last 4.5 years to work here and get to know so many great people to help move the program forward on the backs of great student athletes and great coaches. But I just thought from myself personally, it was time to be able to get back to we have a home in South Carolina on a lake. I miss that lake. I haven't been able to get up there a whole lot. And I also have two boys that live in Atlanta and a granddaughter in Atlanta. So I thought it was a good time at this point to be able to make that transition, and certainly want to be able to be available as requested or needed to help anything that the university needs, you know, moving forward. Because, as you know, Joe, it's my alma mater. It's a wonderful place. Want to make sure that we leave it in good stead. I think the staff that we've put together is really an A+ staff, and we want to make sure that continue to do the good things, so that not just football, but all of the programs that we have here at the University of Miami continue with an upward trajectory.
When you got to the University of Miami, it was at a time where the University of Miami was struggling to win in a lot of sports, and then the winning started. I don't think it's an accident that the winning started, that the winning followed you from Clemson to the University of Miami. Whether it's attitude, I don't think it's magic wand, whatever it is, the winning started when you arrived at the University of Miami.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's you know, I haven't caught a touchdown pass since the 70s, so I know it wasn't because of anything that I did on the field. But, you know, I've just always looked at, you know, what an athletic director is supposed to do. I think we need to support our coaches. We need to listen to our coaches and understand what their needs are. You're not always going to agree, but you need to be able to kind of make sure that they're doing what they can to allow their student athletes to be the best that they can be. And, you know, we've done, as you said, a good amount of winning on the field. There's still some winning to do. But I will tell you, the most consistent rise over the 4.5 years, and it did have a lot of focus, was our academic performance. Mm-hmm. And that academic performance has just continued to go up and up and up. It's been a really good trajectory. And I give all the credit there to our academic department, to our coaches for making sure that it is a focus, but more so our student athletes who came in here and understood that, you know, getting an education and a great degree from the University of Miami is just incredibly important, and not to lose that opportunity. So that was something that was really great. Really, really enjoyed that part of it.
I guess what's important about I know what's important about the academics and the latest athletic department academic progress report score of 990, which was released the other day, and the APR also showed a lot of academic achievement. In this day and time, a lot of people believe for the student athletes, it's about the money and that's it. But they are still getting the college experience, and many are still taking advantage of the academics in this new world.
No question. And one of the things that kind of goes unnoticed is, you know, you can only continue to get those types of, you know, financial windfalls and opportunities if you're eligible. So student athletes I really think they're, on the whole, they're much more mature than maybe they were 10 years ago. Okay. Coming in knowing, especially when you talk about your sports like football and basketball, you know, the sports that, you know, we sell tickets to, baseball, women's basketball, these young people come in here knowing that they have opportunities to create revenue for themselves, but they have to take care of business both on and off their competition courts or fields. And I think it's really kind of focused them a lot more than maybe in years past. So it's a testament to the coaches to make sure that they amplify that in their conversations with their student athletes.
When you arrived at the University of Miami, it was also at about the same time where the new world of college athletics arrived. You do have a new football facility going up, or an addition to the Carroll Sofer indoor facility, a big project going on right now. But how much, how difficult was that change? Because instead of getting donors to donate for buildings now. Not only is it buildings, but it's also basically it's also to help support the NIL and all those things for the student athlete.
Well, you know, I think that all of that goes together, Joe. It really does. I don't know that I could separate one from the other. But, you know, you have to work all of those pieces to be able to be a successful program. And I think that's certainly where we've been with some of the positive things that we've done over the last year and certainly set a great foundation for things into the future. And the facility piece is important. And we have to continue to work on that because we do have a constricted footprint here. So we want to make sure that we utilize all the space in the best way that we can.
What do you think, as you wind down, what do you think the future of the ACC is? The meetings are coming up and all that, but what do you see as some of the challenges for the league?
Well, I think, you know, the league always, you know, we don't have another bite at the television apple until 2036. But there have been other things that the league has done to help create revenue for the schools. The biggest change, Joe, that came along in the last 24 months is really the adding Cal and Stanford and SMU for sure, getting their monies from ESPN, but segmenting a piece of that so that those schools don't get full shares right away, and utilizing those dollars to reward success. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the success initiatives that we've talked about in the past, if you finish in the top 25 of the final CFP poll, if you go to a bowl game, if you go to the NCAA basketball tournament, all those things reward you financially. And then this past year, adding on the metric of viewership for football and basketball, I think that that's going to continue to say that, okay, if you're investing in your program, you're going to be able to get some increased dollars, you know, from the Atlantic Coast Conference. And because you're, by extending your brand, you're extending their brand. So I think those were two really important changes that Commissioner Phillips and the presidents of the league approved. And I think certainly this past year we were a beneficiary of that because of the very, very deep run into the college football playoff. So that's been a good thing for the University of Miami.
All right, before we let you go, college basketball tournament looks like that's going to expand. The College Football Coaches Association said that they would like a 2014 playoff, but they want the season to end the second week in January without a championship, conference championship games. Do you think any of that has legs?
I do. I think that there's growing support for a couple of those items. Really, number one, let's kind of compact the season a little bit. We've already made the adjustment that week zero now is week one, and there will be no week zero moving forward. So that's one thing that can help. You know, some folks are really looking at having two buys during the course of a year. I think that, you know, given where we are and the way college football is today, I think we can get by with one. And that was something that also came out as a recommendation from the coaches. So that's a good thing in order to kind of compress the calendar. And if you don't have conference championship games, you still can have that conference championship weekend as the first weekend of the 2014 playoff. Still give Army, Navy their week to stand and shine on their own, and then continue with the rest of the playoffs and not have such large gaps between, you know, the end of a team's regular season and when they have to go out and play in their most important game of the year. So I applaud the AFCA. I mean, a lot of the things that they had put out have been talked about over the last few years, and it's good to see an organization with their clout to be able to come forward and say that. And we'll see. There's a lot of different variations as to how the 2014 playoff would work. But before we get into all of those details, let's make sure we can get, you know, maybe we go to 16 for a couple of years. Maybe we can then go to 24. But it's I think it's a pretty good bet that it ends up going beyond 12.
Well, I don't think college athletics is going to be as smart as it needs to be on June the 2nd, but congratulations. And now, sorry, on June the 2nd, every day will be Saturday for you.
Every day will be Saturday. There'll be a lot. There's a lot of projects that have been kind of sitting around for me, just kind of waiting. So looking forward to that. I'm also really looking forward to playing some golf with my boys. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. And watching my little granddaughter grow up, and maybe, God willing, there's even more of those along, you know, coming down the road. But like I said, it's been an honor and a pleasure to be here, and I will always be a University of Miami fan, throwing up the U because I look on my wall and there's a University of Miami diploma sitting on it. So something I'll always be proud of.
Well, we always really appreciate all the time you spent with us. Appreciate all the talks on the road and all that stuff. And hopefully we'll see you on October 3rd at Clemson, South Carolina. But congratulations on great work at the University of Miami, and enjoy your retirement.
Appreciate you so much, Joe. And it was so much fun to be with you and Don and rekindle that friendship from many, many years ago. And I know it's going to go on for many, many years to come.
All right, University of Miami Athletic Director Dan Radakovich. And that wraps up the Hurricane Hotline for this academic year. What a season we had, of course. The University of Miami football team goes all the way to the championship game. We had a thrilling adventure ride on that, going to the championship game, coming right down to the final play. University of Miami basketball team to the round of 32. We've enjoyed following the University of Miami baseball team, and we'll continue to do so as they prepare for the regionals this weekend. When we come back in August, it'll be the Hurricanes football season, getting ready for the Stanford Cardinal. Thanks to Don Bailey Jr. for joining us all season long. Trevor Harris has been our producer all season long. We look forward to rejoining you in August. Thanks very much for being with us, and have a very pleasant good evening.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.